Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the NJ Podcast. This podcast aims to share stories, tips, and insights about achieving success while having fun. From topics ranging from personal development to business, entertainment, and sports, the podcast will have conversations with experts and people in their respective fields. The podcast will also share insights from Jabra James's published and upcoming books. The tagline, which is the theme of the podcast, is "Success is a progressive realization of a worthy ideal." This means that you are doing what you have always wanted to do because it is aligned with your highest values, and this is the only way you can live a truly fulfilled life. Your host, Jablo James.
So I've worked for about 6 years in the IT industry as a business analyst slash project management consultant. And then I went and I specialized in project management consultant. And I came across a special breed of people, a very, very special breed of people when I had to start delivering software and start doing deployments. And they are called none other than developers. I'm not talking about what type of developers, but just plain old developers. And through my times of being burnt on projects and, you know, relying on them and having them drop the ball and just having conversations with them, I come to realize that project managers, developers, and testers are the most misunderstood resources in any project team from both the client side and the business owner side. And so what I'm doing now is just having conversations with the developers and testers just to get what their take on what their job role is, what the ideals are, what some of the issues and challenges it is that they have, and then also just for them to just give what they think about, you know, success being the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. So now I've got one of the best developers I've worked with in over the past couple of years. His name is Deo Mujinga. And I'm not going to mention exactly where we work, but we do work somewhere. Sure. Confidentiality, right. NDA, you know, just protecting yourself, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, so Deo, if you can just introduce yourself. Who is Deo? What does Deo like? And, yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Deo, Deo Mujinga, and I'm a software developer. I'll keep it short, man. I'm a simple guy. That's been writing code for a couple of years now, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So, like, what are some of the stereotypes that people have of developers that you can debunk? Some people, they think you just sit and just look at lines of code, and then you are Star Trek fans, and you're fluent in Klingon, and all those like Big Bang Theory type of vibes, yeah. Like Sheldon Cooper. What are some of those stereotypes that are not true for you being a developer yourself?
Well, I'll tell you what. The first one that I think is really not true would be that developers are antisocial.
Yeah.
Look, there is a majority of developers that would be very much so antisocial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just not everybody. I mean, we all different.
Mm-hmm.
And as being different, we exude life in different ways. And we have different reactions to social spaces. Not all developers are antisocial. Not all developers are nerds.
Mm-hmm.
We're really much different and pretty much like everybody else.
All right, cool. So why is it, out of the millions of professions that are out there, did you decide I'm going to be a software developer? Like, what was going through your mind? What led to that point to say, you know what, I as Deo Mujinga, I am going to be a software developer?
Yeah, I fell in love with Mixit. No.
You fell in love with Mixit, oh wow. Jeez, no. You're taking us back. 2 decades, huh?
Yeah, man, way back, way back.
That's a throwback. Yeah.
On a serious note, so I was, I've always loved technical stuff growing up. You know, like really, it was between two things. It was either I was going to be an electronic engineer,
mm-hmm.
Or a software developer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I had no doubts about that.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, I dealt with a lot of technical stuff. I opened everything that I came across.
Mm-hmm.
From radios to toys to everything.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
a console,
yeah.
To computers, to controllers, whatever I found and I just opened. So that was the electronic side of me. And, once I got into high school, In the era of high school, then I got introduced to programming.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun, you know. First program was Hangman. And that was amazing. So I just fell in love with writing code from that period in time. And since then, I had to make a choice between the two, and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and write code.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So it's like, where did you study, like in terms of your tertiary education, to get you ready for
it? Yeah. So I pretty much did everything alone.
Mm.
Typical developer stuff.
Yeah. Open source stuff. Right. YouTube videos.
So I did a lot of YouTube videos, but of course my formal training and studying was through UNISA. So I did everything through UNISA, and I went to UNISA straight after high school. I did IT at UNISA. I graduated there, and I did my postgrad at UNISA, still in IT. Graduated there. But essentially, you know, the way UNISA works is that it's distant learning.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much don't have a single friend from tertiary education.
Oh, okay.
I asked nobody for nothing.
Is it?
I asked everything online, Google, and Stack Overflow.
Mm.
Yeah.
So like that goes back to the what people can think of you being antisocial.
Right. Yeah.
Not so much.
I suppose that didn't really help me, right? Studying distant learning didn't help the fact that everybody thinks that software developers are already antisocials. But yeah, that was just part of my journey. I mean, there are many other that have really studied at attended like UP and you know, VIT. I just took the UNISA route.
All right, well, so you took the route that was best for you.
Best for me.
That wasn't, well, not the antisocial route, but you took the you took the route that was best
right.
for you.
Best for me.
Yeah, so like, I started working with developers about four and a half years ago.
Right.
And then started really being in charge of the time. And they always started to complain about, you know, unrealistic timelines. Working 16 to 18 hour days, them not being misunderstood, and them being thrown under the bus or the car train or the SAA flight,
wow.
or being fed to the sharks,
yeah.
or sent to the wolves.
Yeah.
So, what is, from your perspective, what is a developer's worst nightmare?
I think you've touched on it.
Is
really?
It?
Yeah. So one of the things that developers hate the most.
Yeah.
Is being fed hours that they can't consume.
Yes.
So essentially, you've given them a product that you expect. I mean, look, this really comes from salesmen.
Yes.
And as a salesperson, really, what you want to do when you're
a salesperson is your worst nightmare. No, I'm
Yeah, look, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But what you would have is a salesperson that would sell a product and say that, you know what, this can be written within a period of 2 weeks, right? And that is without sufficient information of what the product really entails.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got 2 weeks to get it done. You've got 2 weeks to make it work. And that is some hours that you're feeding developers that they can't really consume. And and essentially it leads them to work 16 hours a day, you know, to bring that into 2 weeks. So your lapse time will be 2 weeks, but the effort that you would have put in 2 weeks would be 4 weeks worth of effort in 2 weeks. That is the worst for developers.
That is the developer's worst.
Like
I woke up, I'm like, okay, it's going to take Dale exactly, let's say 14 hours or 20 hours to put a screen together.
Yeah.
And then we sign that off,
promise
the client it's going to be ready in 20 hours. The next thing Dale's like, no, this is like 100 hours.
Right.
What is wrong with you?
Right. Well, absolutely.
And that's not even an exaggeration.
Yeah,
right?
That's a true story. That really happens.
Yeah.
That really happens. Yeah.
So can you give me a situation whereby you were like, I'm actually done. I can't deal with this nightmare anymore. Like, was there a time where that actually happened? And what was the result of that?
I would say there was. There were many occasions like that.
Many occasions.
Yeah, there were many occasions like that. I mean, one of the things that you would have is, again, it's not for everybody, but you'll find that software developers, not all, I would probably say most of the ones that I've come across are not great communicators, right? And I say this with all due respect to all software developers,
yeah,
right?
100%.
You would find that developers find themselves in spaces where they can't communicate, you know, the conundrum that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And they perhaps might just react inappropriately to that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that perhaps I've done is sit down with a person that's really given me this work.
Mm-hmm.
And say, so you are the source of my problems.
Right
now, you are the source of my problems. And, you know, it's only fair to say that you will solve them.
Yeah.
So you need to find a way to speak to whoever you've spoken to and told that this is going to take me 50 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on my analysis and when I, you know, looked into what this entails, this is at least 150 hours worth of work. And you've only given me a third of that, right? So let's have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the conversations could go, the conversation could go one way or the other. And, you know, you sort of like bargain on the times. More than half the times you find yourself working overtime.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And you find yourself putting in the hours on weekends. You find yourself working on a Sunday.
And is that paid overtime?
Look, that's a different conversation. That's a different conversation. But then you find yourself doing that, you know, a lot of the times. Essentially what that comes down to is really having that conversation. And I feel for software developers because software developers are not great in that space, right? They're really great in solving problems technically, but really talking about them. I mean, software developers are not first class communicators. And the reactions to, you know, such problems can be horrendous. But I think for me, just have a conversation with the person that creates your problems. Sit down and talk about it.
And then what if they say the client is not budging?
Look, so there are certain things that you can do as a person and certain things just out of your space and control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, if you put me in a confined space and I don't fit, I'll give you an analogy. If you if you're building a puzzle, and I mean they all look the same, pretty much. So pieces are pretty much looking all alike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you take this one puzzle that's, you know, looks like it's gonna fit into this one space.
Yeah.
And you squeeze it in.
Yeah.
In due time, it's just gonna pop out.
Yeah.
Right. So essentially, what you find is most software developers will hang around for some time.
Yeah.
But that is your way of popping them out of that space.
Yeah.
You might not be with them for much longer.
100%.
So essentially, you know, permanent decisions get to be made.
Somebody's going to give me a lifestyle that
permanent,
I want.
I'm telling you.
Whether
like, really.
It's you or right. somebody else, I have
yeah,
to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
Like, so it's basically like burning someone at the stake and
yeah.
thinking they're going to stay around.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Permanent decisions are made.
Yeah. So as a project manager, one of the things that is a pain point for me is not enough time is given to testing, and
yes.
you can see the disasters that have happened in human history because of lack of testing. You know what happened to the Titanic?
Yeah, yeah,
Right. So what do you think, you personally, because like you'd be closer to this? What do you think of the term "I dare you not to test"?
Jeez, mate!
I dare you not to test.
That's actually quite deep. Look, it's almost as though you are, with all the knowledge you have, and I would say all your intellectual capacity, you consume poison that you know is poison and expect not to die. That's really what it is. Look, testing is not a luxury in software development.
It's not a luxury.
It's not.
What is it? A mandatory? It has to be done.
It has to be done. it has to be done.
You hear that, people? Like, when it comes to software development, you've got to test.
It has to
Why
be done.
Why does it have to be done? Because a lot of people don't understand. Like, people think, like, you allocate 50 hours of development.
And like what you're hearing so far?
No.
Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe now button. Follow on YouTube, Instagram, and other platforms listed. Also, check out the website for more information. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for the support. Now back to the show.
A system that you have 100% confidence in as a software developer, because you wrote it, right? Mm. You wrote that application. You wrote that system. That system works.
Yeah.
In your head.
Yes.
Until you put it in a space where it's not your head anymore, right? Yeah. It's a piece of hardware that decides what it's going to do with it, right? That piece of hardware does not have your sentiment. Yeah. It's going to do what it wants to do.
Hey, there we go.
Right? So you need a test for that. Mm. Like, it's just logical for you to just go ahead and put in the extra hours and put in the extra measures for you to test that piece of software. Yeah. Otherwise, you're shooting yourself in the foot. And you need a test. You have to test it.
Like, how extensive should we test? Like, in your perspective, how extensive should the testing be?
Look, I would say that if you wrote it in an hour, give yourself about 2 or 2.5 hours.
To test it.
To test it.
My goodness.
So I would say that your testing period or testing cycle is more important than your writing cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, writing the software is not as important as testing it.
Yeah.
Your reputation, in fact, lies in the testing and not the actual writing of the software.
So then why is it that testing is seen as some backdoor function that's just inflating our budgets and just delaying our timelines and inconveniencing the client?
Look, I think there are many reasons for that. One of the reasons for it is, look, you've worked with developers.
Yeah.
One of the things you will hear is, it works on my machine.
Too often. It works on my machine.
It works on my machine.
It was working on my local.
It works on my local. Listen, man. It works on my machine.
Yeah.
Now, essentially, more than half the times you would have perhaps written a piece of software on a server of which it, and genuinely it does work.
Mm.
And more than half of that is because you've done your positive test and not necessarily your negative test against that. And you can demo that piece of work. You can bring clients in a room and literally demo that piece of work.
Mm.
The client is not going to ask you to do a negative test against that software.
Yeah.
The client is just looking for positive testing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what you've tested and it works.
Yeah.
Right? At that point, it's sold. The client has bought it.
Yeah.
Management bought it.
Yeah.
The company decision makers have all bought into this thing.
Yeah, it worked.
Who needs testers? You know what I mean? Like, who needs at that point in time?
Yeah.
Nobody's head is thinking, okay, cool, listen, just hold on right there. Let's go ahead and test this. No way.
Yeah.
I mean, you've already done your positive testing.
Yeah.
That's what everybody wants to see.
Like, you remember, I think, was it Apollo 13?
Yeah.
Look what happened.
Yeah.
Like, people died.
Yeah.
Like, people melted to death. And also, like, In the automotive industry, aeronautics industry, like the standard of testing is, the level of QA there is so extensive and so rigorous and so in detail because people's lives are on the mat, are on the line. So is that a reason why, in terms of software development, it's not taken that seriously because we don't see people's lives being on the line? What is it?
So I think in all spaces and spectrums, we do have people's lives on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, in our field right now in fintech, and literally we're dealing with people's money every day. It's no joke. Like, it really is no joke. And that's life. That's people's lives.
People's college funds.
That's everything to people. That's retirement funds.
Definitely.
That's everything
that's
to people.
That's turn up money.
That's turn up money. Anyways, it's just as serious, right? And I think it needs to be taken as seriously as it's taken in the automotive industry. And one of the things that you'll find, especially lately, is that there is sort of like a resistance for self-driving cars to hit the market commercially, like, strong. And part of that is really it's really lying on the testing phase and testing cycle of that. Mm. And that needs to be taken as serious can be, like even in a fintech, in a fintech space.
Yeah.
Testing is paramount, like it is important. It is imperative to test your stuff.
I was working, doing some like a deployment at a bank, and the call was made to not thoroughly do testing.
Right.
Solution was deployed into production.
Right.
Untested to the max, and you can guess what happened. People were getting money they were not supposed to be getting, and people were losing money they were not supposed to be losing. Needless to say, the project manager, the dev team, well, they weren't working there anymore because of, of the severity of the situation. So it's stuff like that.
Look, that's serious matter.
Yeah,
that is really, really serious. You can't play with people's lives.
No, definitely not. So this question I want to ask, okay, on the back of that, so let's say you've got like an entire platform, like you are on the stage, 7.5 billion people are listening to you. And most of them have a lens of saying, we work in a software development project team. We're a lot of project managers, we're business analysts, we are consultants, we are testers, we are DevOps engineers, we are people who are supporting the solution, we are sales people,
right.
We are the chief executives, all in the industry that we work in right now. And they could listen to you for about a minute and a half, right? What would you tell them from a developer's perspective and what you've seen? The entire world listening to you for like, and they have to take your advice for an hour, for a minute and a half. What would you tell them?
I think the one thing that I would say is have an inclusive mindset. So really with software development, the person who is meant to do the work is consulted last.
Ah, yes, that's very true.
And I think that's a flaw. The person who is doing the work should be the first line of contact.
Yes.
And not the other way around. So you do have a value chain from the salesman to the market director and to the project management and to the program manager. There's a whole value chain that's taking place there. And at the bottom of it, you've got the guy doing the work, which is the software developer. And he's then fed 100 work hours. You're giving him a work or piece of work that needs to be done in 100 hours, but that's really 200 hours. Like really 200 hours. No exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's what it is, right? Now, you would have really circumvented that had you consulted him earlier.
Yeah.
And by consultation, I don't mean give him a phone call and say that, okay, listen, we're writing a banking system. How long is that going to take you? Give me a thumb suck.
Yeah.
That's a very dangerous thing to do. Extremely
How
dangerous.
How long do you think it's
going to take? Just give me a thumb suck. We say, well, look, I can't really give you a thumb suck until I know what it entails.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm just going to give you a high level description of what we're writing. It's a banking system. You'll be able to make transactions, you know, moving money from one place to another, and you'll be able to trade, or you'll be able to do a conversion around that. You'll have your currencies. You'll be dealing with offshore and onshore and so on and so forth. With that said, give me an estimation. Well, listen, I can't give you an estimation.
Yeah.
You've said nothing, absolutely nothing to me.
People don't want to hear that deal.
Listen, it's the truth.
They want to close the deal.
You've said nothing to me. And like, until I know what the system is going to do, I really cannot give you an estimation. And I think more than half the times what you find is, you know, salesmen and salespeople and people in marketing as well, what they do is they know they're not going to get nothing close to what it should take. Guess what they do? They thumb suck.
Okay.
They just go ahead and say, okay, listen, man. So they was not going to give me an actual number because he said, after all that I said nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to thumb suck it and say, like, you know what, based on how fast I know they will write code or how slow I know they will write code,
yeah.
it's going to take him 50 hours.
Yeah.
It's going to take him 100 hours. I'm just going to say 110.
Okay.
I'm going to say 110. I'm going to give him 10%
and
average.
It's not scientific. It's not based on facts. No, it's not based on data. It's not based on consultation.
It's not based on technology. It's not based on anything.
It's just based on how I feel that day.
It's based on how you feel that day. You felt so generous in giving me 10 more percent on that.
Yeah.
And say, listen, I'll give you 110 hours.
Yeah.
10% leverage, you know, just in case, you know, you need to get up and go make tea or coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 10% worth of hours that you could spend in that. But in all honesty, consult to the person that's going to write the thing ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Have your documentation in place with regards to your business requirement document.
Mm-hmm.
Have that in place. Let it be detailed.
Yeah.
Look, not all developers are, you know, subject matter expert.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use jargon that is unnecessarily used in the document, which lengthen the understanding process of the actual BRS, then it really makes no difference to me. So in essence, just involve developers ahead of time.
Yeah.
Way ahead of time. Give them more skin in the game.
Yeah.
Let them make a few more decisions about that. Then you might have a happy software house.
A very happy software house. Yes. A very happy, happy. I was going to say happy home, but
if you want to call it that way.
Yeah,
you might have a very software.
That's all right. Okay, house. So I don't know if you've answered the question, but ultimately, other than the inclusive mindset and being brought to the table, ultimately, what do developers want? What do you guys want? Barring money, we all know we all want money. But like, what do developers actually want?
I think what's most valuable for us is peace.
Peace.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let me hear this. Peace. Let's hear this. Yeah.
Essentially, if you give me work, you can go now.
Oh my goodness.
Like, really.
Fly away.
If you've given me work, you can go. I'll work.
Mm.
If I've got questions, I'll come to you.
Yes.
Please don't come to me every 5 minutes and ask me how far I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm working on it, right? I've told you it's going to take me 5 hours. Don't come to me every hour and tell me how you doing. Hey, how is it looking there, mate? Don't come to me with that, okay? Just give me the 5 hours.
Do you know why I'm laughing? Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty of being that guy.
Exactly. I know that. I know. So
that's why I'm laughing.
Right.
I'm that guy.
How's it looking? So how far are you with that screen?
What does it even mean? How's it looking?
Like, look, I've just told you. It's going to take me 2 hours to write the screen.
Yeah.
It's only been a freaking 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay? And I've only just started, pretty much. You know, perhaps like the most bulk of my work is going to be done within 45 minutes, but that might be the last 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay? The first hour, I might still be building some framework from which I'm going to work from.
Yeah.
So if you're asking me, like, early on how far I am, my answer will be I am nowhere for you to see any progress right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, so peace is important. Peace is very, very, very important for software developers. So, you know, once you've given us the work, look, we really do appreciate your concern and you wanting to find out and helping us, you know, how far we are in the process. But with all due respect, just let us work. You can go now.
This is not an RA show. More explicit terms of the news.
You can go now.
You can go now.
Yeah, man.
All right, cool. So then, like, what do you do outside of being a software developer? Because another stereotype is that all software developers do is software develop and code, and that's your entire life. Oh. You don't do anything outside of all life, which is not fair, which has not been true in my experience. So what do you do in your downtime? What do you do outside of?
So I have an interesting proclivity to life apart from the software development side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very artistic. And in that, I write music, I play music.
Yeah.
I write things.
Yeah.
I'm really a deep studier of leadership as well.
Yeah.
So I write things on leadership. I write articles on leadership.
Yeah.
I speak on that as well.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things that I do outside writing software. Very artistic things. You would think that, you know, I would be doing technical stuff, of which I do technical stuff.
Yeah.
And that would be part of the engineering stuff that I still do outside of writing software. Mm. I do technical stuff in that space. But I am very artistic as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, fantastic. So like artistic, you play the piano, do all those things.
I do.
All right, cool. So we're gonna wrap this up very quickly. So we're gonna do a quick speed round. I wanna say a couple of words.
Sure.
Say a word and I want you to give me what you think about it, all right?
Okay, cool.
Testers.
Great people, not very much appreciated.
Project managers.
They make it work.
Salespeople.
They are more flexible than they should be.
Right, software developers.
Great people on the planet.
All right, cool. Steve Jobs.
Oh, role model.
Role model. Tim Cook.
Oh, goodness. Another one, role model.
Elon Musk.
Oh, my word. Number one role model.
Bill Gates.
Goodness, tech savvy.
Adrian Gore.
Role model.
Cyril Ramaphosa.
Great heart.
Cool. Jacob Zuma.
Tough man.
Right. Front end.
Role model.
Front-end developers are your role model.
Front-end developers are my role model.
All right, cool. CEOs?
CEOs are innovative.
All right, cool. We're going to leave it there. So that is us for the NJ podcast. We were talking about the views of software developers and how their lives are, so we can get an honest conversation from them. And this has been Deo Mujinga. If you have any last words for the people, is there anything else that you want to add?
Nothing much from my side. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate this. It's been fun. It's been great. Let's do it again.
Cool. 100%. And this is me, Jabra James, of the NJ Podcast. And remember, success is a progressive realization of a worthy ideal. And even if you're a software developer, you still are worthy of your worthy ideal. So this is me signing out with Deo. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us on this episode on the NJ Podcast. Make sure to visit the website, the njpodcast.captivateair.fm, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, all the other podcast platforms, or via RSS so you never miss a show. You can also find the video content on the YouTube channel and Instagram page. That will be Njablo James on YouTube and Njablo.j.ngosi for Instagram. Please subscribe and follow on those platforms as well. And while you're at it, if you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on the podcast platforms, or if you'd like to tell a friend about the show, that will help us out too. If you'd like more information about published or upcoming books, visit www.njablojames.com for more information. Please reach out if you'd like to share what you would like to hear and which guests should be invited to the show. And remember, success is a progressive realization of a worthy ideal, which means that you are doing what you have always wanted to do because it is aligned with your highest values, and this is the only way you can live a truly fulfilled life. Now just chill until the next episode.